Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday, live at Barlines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, as we are every week. Looking forward to that. Also, every week, Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, going to join us to talk some hockey. He's presented by Old National Bank, Get Old. We're excited to have Greg back with us once again. Greg, how the heck have you been?
I've been all right, man. I've been all right. It's my favorite time of year. It's when all of the other really super popular sports get finished up, and then I get to talk more. and that includes the network that signs my check. So it's a very exciting time to be in hockey right now.
Well, here's what's funny. I'm not even going to ask you about hockey to start because I know you're a wrestling fan like me. What did you think about the WWE Raw debut on Netflix?
So real quick, so I didn't appreciate that it wasn't an actual episode of Raw, like it was like a baby pay-per-view. People were tuning in for the first time and thinking they're getting CM Punk versus Seth Rollins as the main event every week, you don't. You got to sit through a lot of other stuff to get to that kind of stuff. The second thing is, the first 25 minutes of just like absolutely going over the top with praise for Netflix and The Rock joking with the CEO was a bit much. I understand why you got to do it when they're paying you that kind of money, but it was a bit much. And the third thing is, because they're pitching it to try to get people that haven't watched before, and honestly, I don't know how many of those people actually tuned in, every match was basically like Roman Reigns, Spears, Solo Sikoa, who, by the way, is the cousin of Jacob Fatu, who, by the way, was in the Survivor Series Hell of a Cell against Sami Zayn. It was like an hour of exposition every match. Just to catch people up with what the hell's going on in wrestling. So it wasn't my favorite, but hey, the stream worked. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, no, and look, it's going to be interesting to see them navigate this. And I found it to be interesting when listening to the press conference afterwards with Triple H, Paul Levesque. And you could kind of tell that he's like, hey, we're going to kind of take this week by week because they don't really know what to expect. But I know the numbers were there and everybody seems to be happy, so we'll see how they kind of build from there. Moving into the NHL, the Predator, we haven't really talked to you much about the Predators. And this season was supposed to be a great season. They signed Jonathan Marchessault and Steven Stamkos and Brady Shea, and they're going to be a contender for the Stanley Cup. And right now, I think, you look at the standings, they're towards the bottom. So things have obviously not gone the way that Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette had hoped. The talk had been about Brunette and his job status. What's kind of your 5,000-foot view of the Predators as we sit at the halfway mark of the season?
Well, obviously, we're just all waiting for the next, 17 games without a loss or whatever it was last season to get them back into this. I mean, obviously we have to, cancel a U2 concert trip and all that other stuff, too, to make it happen again. But look, they're a major disappointment. There's no way to sugarcoat it. How much of that falls on Barry Trotz, how much of that falls on Andrew Brunette, I think will probably come out in the wash after the season. I think you could fault Barry, for example, for not having taken a more aggressive approach to trying to fix the center position early in the season when it became apparent that that was going to be a trouble spot. I know, shifting Stamkos there has produced some dividends, but it's not an ideal fix. And, as far as Brunette goes, I know he's going to get a ton of blame for this, and it's hard not to blame the head coach for a lot of it. But when you look inside their numbers, they're at 5-on-5, they're not completely off of their marks from last year insofar as the percentage of shot attempts that they get, their expected goals, that sort of thing. It's not too far away. What is far away is their shooting percentage, where I think they're last in the league right now in shooting percentage. And it's been what's contributed most to, I think, this offensive malaise that we've seen from them this year. So, is that on the coach? Is that bad puck luck? Are you just not getting the types of performances that you could expect from guys for whatever reason? I don't know. But it all adds up to a pretty terrible season for them, and unless, of course, they have an incredible winning streak in them again.
We're talking to senior NHL writer from ESPN, Greg Wyshynski, here on the Chasing Big Joe show.
Greg, good to hear from you again. This is Joe. Listen, this hockey team is very frustrating because I thought when they signed everybody on July 1st, I was going to go ahead and buy my Stanley Cup final tickets. Are you as shocked as anyone that they are as bad as they are?
Oh, without question. I thought they were definitely a playoff team. I mean, especially when you take a look at the Western Conference right now, it's clear that there's a spot there that should be the Predators in theory that is going to go to someone who I think is a bit inferior, at least on paper. You know, when they go out and they sign Steven Stamkos, you don't expect him to be anything less than the point per game type talent that he was in Tampa all those years. And look, we know that conditions change. He's not with Braden Point. He's not with Nikita Kucherov, but he's still one of the best offensive players in the league when he's on his mark. And you know, it was a real struggle for him early on. I just think it's a situation for this team. And we talked about the winning streak last year and how that got them into it. But, you know, the other streak that we have to talk about is the way they get off the blocks. I mean, they just did not play well for the first month and a half of the season. They dug themselves a considerable hole while other teams in the Western Conference they assumed to be competitive with were sprinting out of the gate. And I just think that they've been stuck in an abyss. And when you take two steps forward and then stumble back three steps, it's really hard to kind of find your footing.
With the second half of the season starting now, and as bad as they started, can they do a 180? Do you think in your mind this hockey team could do a 180 and get that success and make a strong playoff push?
I hope so. I think this is a really talented team. I mean, they've got obviously incredibly important players, whether it's the players they bought in Stamkos and Marchessault, whether it's the players that were there in Forsberg and O'Reilly and Josie. They've got the advantage of having, in my estimation, one of the top goalies in the league, and UC Saros, who can play a ton of games down the stretch. I mean, there is the reality in the multiverse of the NHL where the Predators can turn this thing around and make the playoffs. But the other reality is that, you know, the Western Conference is kind of shaken out the way it is. I mean, you know, they're clearly not going to be a factor in the Central Division with the way that the Jets, the Wild, and the Dallas Stars have played. And, you know, the Colorado Avalanche are right there with those top three in the division. So, I mean, if you're the Nashville Predators, the reality is that you're chasing one spot. You're chasing the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. And right now that's held down by Vancouver. And you've got a bunch of other teams that are in the mix. But, you know, can this team make up the gap? Can they make up 12 points to catch a Vancouver team that, oh, by the way, is pretty good itself? I can't see it happening, unfortunately, although I think it'd be really exciting if it did.
All too often now, Greg, as you well know, in all the sports, when they get off to a bad start or something bad's happening, we harken back to Braveheart, like, off with their heads! Are you surprised the Predators have not made that change, as bad as they've played at head coach?
So, I think I remember Barry Trotz saying this, and you guys would know better than I do, and if I'm incorrect, please correct me. But the way he kind of portrayed this was, we're bringing in some veterans. The guys that are there have earned it, you know, with their playoff qualification last year. We have a chance to maybe do something. But in essence, these are placeholders for the next wave of young Predators players that we certainly don't want to rush. And so I feel like they are not acting with desperation because they're not a desperate team. Now, granted, again, they spent a lot of money to bring in these veteran guys. And a guy like Marchessault is there through 2029, Stamkos 2028. It's not as if there isn't an investment in these players and you hope that they can build something around them. But I think that they've always kind of taken the long view since Barry took over. As insofar as, you know, we've got some players in the pipeline that we like, let's give them some time. And so, you know, I think there was a sense from the outside that this was an all-in season for the Predators. And I think if you ask Barry, it's probably more like, we are getting some really good veterans that are going to help our younger players, and then maybe the mix can come together in the next 2 to 3 years to really make a push for something.
Real quick, before we let you go, you have a really cool article on ESPN.com as you talk about Alex Ovechkin. He's getting close to Wayne Gretzky in the goal record. I had no idea, and I'd love to know how you figured this out, that they had they shared a teammate. They had a guy that played with both of them, which is crazy.
Yeah, his name is Mike Knuble. You might remember him as this one of these guys that just, like, stood 2 feet in front of the crease and just took abuse from a defenseman and scored a bunch of goals that way. Played with the Flyers, played with a bunch of teams, but also played for the New York Rangers in Wayne Gretzky's final season and played a few years with Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals while the Caps were in kind of their Bruce Boudreau era. And so what happened is I went to the Capitals. This is the 50th anniversary year for the Capitals. So I went to the celebration that they had in D.C., and I got to chatting with Knubel, who I covered a little bit when he was at the Capitals, and he kept on mentioning Gretzky and having been a teammate of Gretzky in reference to the Ovechkin chase, and it got me thinking, how many guys actually played with both? I mean, you know, there wasn't any overlap in their careers, so I took it to our incredible ESPN stats and info department. I'm like, how many guys played with Gretzky and Ovechkin? And they're like, it's one. It's this guy, Mike Knubel. So I'm like, oh, all right. So I circled back with Mike and got all the details of the story. And thanks for mentioning it, because I really like writing it. It's a lot of insight into both guys on and off the ice, and kind of gives you a little compare and contrast from a guy who played with both their what they did on the ice, how they prepared, and also, you know, how important they took being ambassadors of the sport, being the superstars that they are. It's a fun piece.
Well, it definitely is. Go check it out at ESPN.com. Greg, we appreciate it as always and excited to be talking to you each and every week. So we'll talk next Thursday.
Cool. Thanks, boys.
Thank you. Greg Wyshynski joining us here on the program presented by Old National Bank. Get old, and glad to have Old National Bank on with
Absolutely.
Us as well. So appreciate them. There is some big breaking news.
Huge.
That if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to be floored. The
yep.
Titans have lost their best employee. That's all I'm going to say.
There we go. Like it. That's good. That's a good tease.
That's what I'm going to say.
Got me. You got me.
Just let me. I know what I'm doing now.
You got me.
I know what I'm doing. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.